Welcome to the Umpiring Fast Pitch Softball Podcast. I'm David.
And I'm Pete. And today we're going to finish our discussion that we started last time about a recent three umpire experience that David had. We covered plate and U3 last time. And now we're going to talk about his experiences in his games where he was U1 and also a video review. That's right?
Yeah, that's right. So before we start on that, I did remember one more thing, one more mistake that I made at U3. And this one's mistake is a funny word here. This one might be more, put italicize it, if you will. So maybe a mistake, judgment call for sure. And what it was a popper. I'm at third, on the line at third. And there was a popper over the shortstop's head. And the shortstop turns and runs away from the plate, right? And football catches it over her head. And I stepped two steps into fair territory because that's balls hit in fair territory type thing, unless yeah. It's at you, right? Couple instances where you don't do that, but most of the time it's like, get on the field. And the plate umpire was blocked, right? Because the play was going away from him, mm-hmm. for sure. And two steps and turning my back and saying, I could have made that call for him,
yeah,
and been able to see it. Anything going wrong with that? That's why I'm like italicizing mistake. I think I should have. My U1 thought I should have, mm-hmm. right? And I think plate said, yeah, either or, type thing. So I think if I had it to do over again, I definitely would chase again. But, if the ball wasn't caught, it would have been rolling on the ground and everybody would have been able to see it then.
Right? Yeah.
So, but anyway, so that was another mistake that I made, if you will, at U3. So when U1 asked me, why didn't you chase on that? And I said, well, you go out on fly balls to like outfielders. And he's like, well, yeah, but there can be fly balls to infielders that go deep too. What's the difference? And I said, well, one of them you spell with OUT and the other one you spell with IN. I don't know. So we kind of chuckled a little bit about it, but just thinking through it a little bit. And then so my advice to you listeners is three umpire system. If there's trouble, whether it's going to be caught by a shortstop or a third baseman or a first baseman that's running over their heads, you get these, athletic first basemen that are trying to go get that foul ball. Mm-hmm. Well, go with them. Don't make the plate umpire go do all that hard work. So when the play's going away from them, for sure. So yeah. Anyway, that was an extra flub up from my U3. So yeah,
that's free of charge, by the way, listeners.
Yeah, I felt really good about that game, if you can't tell. So I have a lot to work on. But anyway, I'm happy to share that experience with our listeners so that they can learn from my mistakes as well. And we all need to know that none of us are perfect and we all have things to work on. Some of us more than others.
I mean, apparently. I'll tell you this though. I have never made a mistake in an NC2A game. So.
Well, that's true. So far, you are perfect in your NC2A. Yeah. Zero errors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Zero attempts, but zero errors. Right.
Yeah, exactly. That's funny. So we have left a video review and U1 from mm-hmm. this 2-day event. And so if we go with U1, I would say it turned out to be that it wasn't nearly as difficult, since I've been through it with the camp in Notre Dame and
whatever, all the attention you paid to it.
Whatever I picked up from the attention I paid to it when I wasn't supposed to be paying attention to it was actually pretty good. So I can't actually think of any feedback I got that was work on this or that mm-hmm. at U1 other than when you are set with a runner at your bag being close to that runner. So, you're not 18 to 21 walking. You're up there close 8 to 10. I think it's 8 to 10, 8 to 12. We can look it up, but it's not very far, right, mm-hmm. from that bag. So it feels uncomfortably close at first.
Yeah.
Because, and not at first base. Initially, it feels uncomfortably close because you don't do that in any other sanction or any other, working three persons the only time you do it, right? And so it was odd. And I guess I kept creeping back. So one of the pieces of feedback I got on my second U1 game was you're still too far back. And I got that at the camp too, when I was U3. So get up there, get your nose in it. Because
yeah.
One of the other things to keep in mind too, there's a stay set type of scenario there. So you got a runner at first and the pitch goes and the ball does not get hit. You stay set in your position there watching for that back pick from the catcher. So you got to be close enough. You're staying set. So you got to be close enough that you're actually able to make a really good tag play call on a tag play.
So the runner's going, in that case, the person who has to call at second is U3 because
they're rotated onto the field. But you're not done. You don't have no responsibilities in that case. So now we're talking about, just to be clear for the listeners, we're talking about a runner stealing mm-hmm. from, so runner at first only, and that runner's going to steal. When she takes off to steal, U1 should come up the foul line so that they're able to look through from first base to second base and help to watch for obstruction and swipe tags or whatever. So don't be done and say, oh, not my responsibility anymore. U3's got it. It's like, no, get up so that you get a really good angle so that you can help to see things like obstruction and swipe tags and stuff. So I don't think that's in the manual. Actually, I think that's, you know, you pick that up from camp or working with other experienced umpires, I think.
I think good tip.
Yeah.
Bringing value.
Yeah. The other thing, I think one of the umpires said it took them several, maybe years, I don't know, attempts. I don't remember the time frame, but it wasn't immediate. But to get in, the whole in-out thing that I think I talked about that when I was at the camp in Notre Dame, mm-hmm. kind of getting in trouble with the ball goes to right field over your head. If you're not chasing, you know, you need to get in. So that you can keep all of the elements in front of you. So it's not a button hook, you know, it's not a high score USA button hook, right? But you do get into the field and get turned so that you can keep everything in front of you. So that was that's a good one. And I was able to do that. So I remember.
It's not a button hook, but you run in and turn around?
Correct. You should see Pete looking at me. He's like, well, then what's the difference?
Yeah.
So in my head, a button hook is it's actually the hook that you would use to attach a button with. And so it's a hook. Whereas getting in is just getting in and turning to see the outfield. So you don't have to turn toward first base to watch the girl touch the bag like you do in USA or whatever. It's just getting in. So,
all right.
And then some people love to say you don't button hook in NC2A, so they can't call it a button hook because then they would be lying. Right. So, yeah, it's not, I guess, and I'm still seeing it. My mind's eye still has a more than a darning needle. Right. It's a hook when you're button hooking in. You come in and you turn in the shape of a hook. When I did this anyway, I don't know if it's right or wrong, but when I did it as a U1, I just came in and turned around to see the play out in the outfield. Not a button hook. I don't know. He's still looking at me. He's still going, you're full of David. Oh, there's another bleep.
All right. So, you know, that was it for yours. Any other interesting plays happen when other people were working U1 that you're aware of that might be something that we can share as tips of things that were either interesting, maybe they did right, that maybe would be not intuitive to people who were watching or learning?
Oh, man, those are so hard to come up with to pinpoint because there were so many of them. Like I said, I was with a fantastic crew of experienced umpires, so there was a lot that was done right.
Yeah, you know, so there at feedback time, nobody else was really ragging on U1s. For things that didn't go really.
No, we had a couple of situations where it's like, well, we'll talk about that one in video review, which so we can get there. What was done really well? Communication was really well.
Mm-hmm.
Was done really well. It was also really good.
Yeah. Me delivery.
Yeah, right. Especially with a couple of the more experienced umpires on the plate. They were very loud and you could tell, you know, I'm here. That kind of stuff. All in, two-person, two-man. They did yell two-man. We were clear about that in our pregame. It was an all-male crew.
Yeah.
So we yelled two-man if somebody ran out. Chasing, let's talk a little bit about chasing. So the defaults have changed over the years. And I think I'll mess these up. So which important umpire feels which way? I would mess that up. So I'm not going to throw any names out there. But it goes back and forth between, hey, there's three of you. Somebody chase. You got a fly ball, chase, because, you know, worst case is you're at two-man, which is still okay, right? Mm-hmm. The ball's in the outfield, so it's okay. The only one that has first, U1 covers first and second, and the plate covers third and home, just like all the time. So it's okay. Go for it. Chase that ball. That's one where it's like, chase everything. And then I think may have even talked about this on the podcast before. Last year's regionals and super regionals, you know, I'm watching, and I actually called Victor and said, dude, why are these people not chasing the ball? He says, well, at that level, they're doing a lot of reading. So they're reading the play and seeing if it's going to be a trouble ball or something. And I said, well, they're sucking at it because they're diving in the outfield and nobody chased. So
yeah.
The whole idea of reading something that's back behind you, good luck. And the more experienced umpires do it. So, you know, don't come at me if you're, you know, Mike or somebody listening and say, yo, we do that because we're good at it. And I'm like, yeah, I believe that, but I'm not there, right? So me trying to do my job and figure out if that fly ball is going to be a trouble ball and then decide if I'm going to chase or not. That's difficult for me, right? At this stage in my career. So, yeah. And so it went from don't chase to read, or I'm sorry, from chase everything to read and only chase when you have to some people are like, yeah, don't chase. It's only 200 feet. You know, if you can't see it at 200 feet and an NC2A on that fly ball, where's the plate umpire? Almost to the pitcher's circle. So it's way less than 200 feet. Now it's 160 feet, 170 feet maybe. But it's like, ah. So, and when we pre-gamed, we said, you know, just use your best judgment. and chase if you want to chase. We'll have your back if not. You know, it's an umpiring crew that knew the rotations and knew what to do at two man and knew what, you know, knew all of it. So it was like, do you, man. It's okay. We'll cover whatever happens type of thing. So I think we chased a lot less than I thought. And some of that was, you know, not as many fly balls, but others were paying close attention to where the fielders are and realizing that, yeah, that's a can of corn to the right fielder. I'm not chasing that.
Yeah.
Or, oh, that's a gapper. Let's get out there and make sure that it's got good coverage. So I don't know if there's great advice in there anywhere, but just make sure that you pregame it with your crew so that you know your expectations and what the crew chief wants you to do or what your assigner wants you to do, you know, how they feel about it. Because it is an assigner's thing. And I know one of the bigger assigners in the Midwest here has changed their position on it from one to the other. And I don't remember which way, so I don't want to misstate. But and then Steve McCowan has his thoughts on chasing. And it's not always the same as the assigner's thought. So, you know, work what your assigner and what your crew chief tells you to do, but go over it in the pregame so you know what to expect, what you're supposed to do.
I mean, so I think there's value in that. Just understanding some of the history of that, some of the complexity. If you come from a place, maybe you worked only with one assigner or one crew or you're new to it, you may not realize that there's that diversity of opinion.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's good to know.
Awesome.
So what about that video review?
So first video of all, review.
Just tell us, like, how does that even work? You mentioned iPad and Canopy and whatnot last time, but so what's... How does that work? What video are you viewing? Just literally in this case, some, you know, it's streaming, someone's live streaming the game. And so you go back and you watch that, or how do you even rewind those? So like when you live stream, what are you doing? Just talk to me about that.
Right. That's the tech guy, guys. Just so you know, the tech guy's going, how to work. So at this particular location, I'm sure it's different, you know, the different places you go. I've been talking with some of the other umpires before, and talking with Maria. She does a lot of games that have video review, and some of them are the legit ones where they've got multiple angles and a setup, you know, where you're going to go. To us, where we were, this host site had a high home camera that they used to stream all of their games. Right? So you can go online and go get them right now, and you can fast forward through them. You can pick a spot in the game, that kind of thing, off the live stream. And so how we did it at this particular location is they had an iPad in the tent under the canopy, and they were running the live stream on there. And if there was a time where we had to have a video review, they would back it up to where that play was, back up the live stream to where the play was, hit record on the iPad. And then so it did a screen capture record.
Video. Okay, so you recorded the screen. Okay.
Yeah, recorded the screen on the iPad. And then you could go into the, you know, the iPad's photos, open the video, and now you can zoom in because it's a screen capture, right? So now you can zoom in, you can play it very slow and that kind of stuff. And I'll tell you, it was very, very fortunate that we had it. But yeah, the camera angle was just high home, like in the press box above home plate.
Okay.
So couldn't see the strike zone very much because, you know, some of the umpires were really big guys. They call me Eclipse for a reason. Right? So block a lot of sun, also block a lot of camera. But you could see almost the whole field. So you could see everything in fair territory for sure. You could just miss in maybe the last 10 feet of foul territory on both corners. So
all right,
out toward the outfield. So yeah, it was really cool. And when you were on the video review official, you're watching the game and you're like discreetly, because you don't want the coaches to see you or whatever, but you're like, hey, iPad person, get that play ready. We want to be ready. They're going to come ask. Most of the time they didn't, but we had one particular play, and I will tell you that live, it was 100% the right call. We had a pulled foot at first base. So runner at second, and so U1 is counter-rotated onto the field. Counter-rotated, rotated, I forget. Anyway, left, they're on the field.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's counter-rotated. Yes, it is.
I think so. Rotated is kind of clockwise and counters.
That's right. Yep. So anyway, they're counter-rotated onto the field. Ball is hit, I don't know, shortstop. Second base, third base, I don't know. And play immediately goes to first base. And the first baseman wants to make that play on that runner from second to third. And so as the ball is coming toward her, she absolutely steps off the bag, catches the ball, transfers the ball, throws it to third. And U1 looked like they might have been starting to make an out call because of the timing.
Yeah.
And then immediately went safe and off the bag. And so we're like, uh-oh. Mm-hmm. Get that ready, right? Because here comes the coach is upset. The assistant coach is yelling, don't change your call. And it's like, he didn't change his call. He saw the whole thing and made the call. So it's like, uh-oh, they're going to come. And so they did. So there was we want to challenge that. At first, we think she was out and think that the first baseman was still on the bag. I'm saying it that way because they're very specific questions. What are you looking for, coach? You know, mm-hmm. in this video review, what do you want us to look for? And so they come in and we do the screen capture. We hit the play button. We're all watching it, not the calling umpire. So the calling umpire stayed on the field to make sure that the players were doing what they were supposed to do and the coaches were doing what they were supposed to do. Mm-hmm. But so the rest of us, the other three, we're watching it. And we watch it in live speed. And we're like, oh, yeah, she's off the bag. And then we zoom in real close and watch it in live speed. We're like, yep, she's off the bag. Then we slowed it down and went frame by frame by frame. And in one frame, you can see the ball almost in the glove and her foot still on the bag. In the second frame, in the next frame, not the second, but in the very next frame, the ball is in the glove and the foot is on the bag. In the very next frame, the foot is off the bag. Got her. But calling it live, 100% the right call.
Yeah.
Watching it live, 100% the right call. Watching it at 1/60th of a second in frame speed.
Yeah.
Nope. Call's wrong.
Yeah, you got down. You got three frames. So in 1/20th of a second, the ball wasn't there. Her foot was on.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, the ball is like on its way out, and the foot is off.
Yep.
And somewhere in there,
yeah.
The ball, the foot, and the bag, and everything all
everything
met.
Was on. So yeah.
Yeah. 1/20th of a second.
So we had to overturn that call, which is unfortunate. I mean, you know, it's. Yeah. I mean, fortunate for the player that made the out, unfortunate for the runner, and unfortunate for us as umpire. We like to get them right, you know. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you, one of the first things I said to that umpire after the game was like, dude, 100% right. Absolutely the right call. Everything that we saw, everything everybody saw, she was off the bag, no doubt. Camera saw it different, but
yeah,
you know. So whatever it was, all the visual cues, you know, the momentum, the timing of everything, it looked like she was off the bag 100% to the blind eye, right? Blind eye? No, naked eye.
Naked eye.
Naked eye. Blind eyes don't see much, do they?
So some people would probably accuse you of having a blind eye.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes. But that was one of the reviewed plays. We did have one other play reviewed and overturned, and it was a runner was stealing from first, going over to second. U3 was rotated onto the field, so right there to make the call, and made an out call, and I think maybe the president in Washington, D.C. wanted a replay on that one. I think everybody in the place was, oh, no, you know, and I'm like, oh, wasn't that bad, you know. So we looked at that one, and it was she slid. The tag was high up on the body, and the foot was already on the bag type thing, you know. So one of those where possibly blocked a little sideways, and you know, not saying that the umpire guessed or anything like that. It was just
the way it looked to him from where you're standing.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So in the video review, showed it clearly the other way. All good. Put it right back where it was supposed to be, which is what video review's for. You know, if we make a mistake, and we can fix that. So all good. We did have one more get reviewed and upheld. And that was it. That's all the video review we had. So it was really kind of easy. We actually pre-gamed and said, hey guys, don't forget. These are really important games. And don't forget it. In these final innings, we have the ability to go to instant replay as well. Right? If we got one that's a banger and we think it should be looked at, we can just do that. We can initiate that. You know, don't forget. We didn't. So, and the coaches didn't very much. Some of that is possibly because they didn't do it a lot throughout the year. The schools in this particular, that were participating in this, didn't have video review most of the year in most of the places where they went. So they weren't possibly as used to it as you see on, you know, you watch the ones on TV with the SEC schools or the ACC schools, you know, they're like, oh yeah, we're going to video review on that. I want all six angles of the whatever. These schools don't have that kind of technology. So they don't do it very much. But yeah, the video review thing, blessing and a curse. If there's anything I would say to give some advice is make sure that you know your appendix F. Let me double check that. G. Make sure you know your appendix G, what plays are reviewable and what the criteria are for the review. So it's only two pages in the book. Appendix G, 171, 172. So the criteria for using video review and then what's reviewable. So make sure that you do that. There are some, I think Cody put a PDF out on RefQuest that has a cheat sheet for what's reviewable. And I think on the other side of it, it has the conference tracker type thing. So that's helpful. You can always carry it with you. When somebody asks for a review, make sure it's reviewable.
Nice. All right. Well, I think that wraps it up then.
It does. I think so. Thanks for listening.
Yep. Until next time.